Thank you, Kevin. Thank you for being back this afternoon. I know that the temperature is probably not what you would like, and so I thought it might be better if I stay on the floor. And I've got several points to be made today in our lesson, but because of circumstances as they are, I'm going to abbreviate, and we'll make this a 2 or 3 part lesson. How's that? Fair enough, hopefully and prayerfully. I got an amen. You want to put your money where your mouth is? I can be bought. I want to begin our lesson today by expressing gratitude to those who have the ability to counsel and provide therapy to individuals who are hurting. Many of us have been blessed by people that have that innate ability to help us navigate through times in life that are incredibly difficult. The passage that was read a moment ago ought to strike a chord in our heart and say something to us about the all-sufficiency of Scripture. The passage that Kevin read a moment ago, where the psalmist talked about the testimonies of God, he said, are my delight. And then he went on to say, and my counselor. You ever thought that the Word of God has the ability to provide counsel to us wherever we might be in this life, no matter what the circumstance, whether we're facing times that are incredibly difficult or whether life is providing us with many opportunities, lots of joys, successes, the Word of God has the ability to fit every need in life. So that being said, let me just call to mind the beauty of God's Word as a counselor. I want to begin by first and foremost saying that the Word of God has the ability to counsel us when we are suffering. Now, I know that none of us relishes the idea of human suffering. None of us really appreciates those times in life when we are hurting deeply and been cut to the core. The fact of the matter is, life is not perfect on this earth. And we live in a world that is plagued by evil and human suffering. As Job said many years ago, man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. What I want to do is call your attention to some verses, and I want you to read them with me because I want to maybe look at this more from the vantage point of a Bible study. And I want you to look at some passages with me that when you need counsel in life, you can go back and look at these same passages of Scripture. I want to begin in Psalm 46, a passage that ought to be well known to all of us. And I want to maybe just call attention to a couple of thoughts in this great psalm. Listen, if you would, to how the psalmist begins. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Reminding us that God is the one in whom we can find refuge in life. Not only can we find refuge in the Lord, but the assurance is that God provides for us help in times of trouble. And so in light of that, listen now to what the psalmist said. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, there is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. Now look at verse 7. Two times in this psalm, The psalmist speaks of the abiding presence of God. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Look at verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And so again, in light of these facts, the psalmist said, "Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in fire." Although life might present to us a number of challenges, and though it might seem as if our life is literally turned upside down, amidst all of this chaos, the psalmist is expressing his trust in God, that God is his refuge, that God is his very present help in trouble, and then the assurance that the Lord of hosts was standing at his side. And so look at verse 10. The psalmist encourages, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." I think sometimes it's helpful for us to remember that God is in absolute control come what may. Might not seem like that. And it may be the case that when we look at life from our vantage point, things seem to be utterly chaotic, out of control, beyond the scope of our ability to navigate. And yet to know that there is a God in heaven who is still upon his throne, who's still reigning, and who is still in control of everything. We call that the sovereignty of God. And the passage that comes to my mind, Psalm 99, when the psalmist said, "The Lord reigns." God is in absolute control in good times and in bad times. And to remember that when we are suffering, the Lord is by our side. As the Hebrew writer said many, many years ago, "I will never leave you nor forsake you," so that we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. What shall man do unto me?" To know that God is standing at our side. Let me just share with you one other verse in connection with this idea. Turn over to Psalm 57. Listen now to David. David said, "Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you." In the previous psalm, David had talked about those that have been bringing trouble into his life. And so down in verse 3, he makes a statement that I've often turned over in my mind. David said, "Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you." Are there times in life when you're afraid, fearful of the outcome of what may be looming before you? And yet to hear David, a man after God's own heart, say in the long ago that when I face times of uncertainty, when I am fearful in this life, he said, "My trust is anchored in you." And so the psalmist David said in Psalm 57, "Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me. My soul trusts in you." Now look at what he says. "In the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by." So to know that there is a haven of rest to be afforded God's people under the sheltering arms of the Lord. Now, there's a second thought I want to consider with you in our study. First, to realize that God's Word has the ability to counsel us when we suffer in life. But then, to recognize the ability of the Word of God to counsel us when we have been sold out, if you please. Let's go back and look at the book of Genesis, chapter 37, for a minute. Look at Genesis chapter 37. In Genesis chapter 37, we read about Jacob, the father of the eventual 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. And you remember the Bible says in verse 3 that Jacob, or Israel, had a son by the name of Joseph. And the Bible says that he loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a tunic of many colors. Now, I don't have multiple children, but I've always been told that in the context of the family, you never show favoritism toward one particular child. Maybe that's hard, maybe not so hard. I remember my mom telling me, and I had two other brothers. She always talked about how much she loved us, and I think that she did love us. Now, she may have loved us in different ways, but I never questioned her love and the love that she had for my other two siblings. So in the context of the home and the family, it ought to be a haven of love and peace, serenity, if you please. But because Joseph was the favored son of his father, that caused a lot of trouble within the home. So look at what it said down in verse 4. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him. They could not speak peaceably to him. Look at verse 8. The Bible says, again, they hated him. Look at verse 11. His brothers envied him. You get the idea. It was because of their deep-seated animosity and hatred, jealousy, that they betrayed their own flesh and blood. Now, that ought not happen, but sometimes it does, doesn't it? Sometimes the people that ought to be the closest to us can become a very vicious enemy. And so Joseph was sold out by his own flesh and blood for 20 shekels of silver. Imagine that. Now, having said that, turn over to chapter 39 now. And there are three verses that I want you to see. Joseph is now down in Egypt, been sold out to the Ishmaelites and the Midianites. He rises to be a steward in the household of Potiphar. But look at verse 2. By way of commentary, Moses said, "The Lord was with Joseph. He was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian." Drop down, look at verse 21. This is after Joseph had been mistreated by the wife of Potiphar after she lied about him, saying that he had made advances toward her when the opposite was true. But here's what Moses said under those circumstances. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Look at verse 23. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's hand because the Lord was with him. Whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. Three times in this one chapter, the Bible says, talking about Joseph, the Lord was with him. Now, Paul said, whatever things were written before time were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. What that says to me, I can look back and read about the lives of some of God's great servants, and because of the things that they faced, their life story can counsel me. Let me give you another passage of Scripture. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 55. Psalm 55 is an amazing psalm, penned by David. David was a man after God's own heart, and yet David faced a lot of adversity in his life. Some of the adversity that he faced was brought on by poor actions in his own life, but some brought on by the actions of others. King Saul did everything within his power to hound him, really to destroy him. And then his own son, Absalom, tried to steal the kingdom from him, along with one of David's former counselors. But look at Psalm 55. Here we have David literally pouring out his heart to God. So when you think about how sometimes in life you've been sold out, rejected, hurt by the actions of others, think about Joseph. Think about David. Listen to what David said in Psalm 55. Give ear to my prayer, O God. Do not hide yourself from my supplication. Attend to me and hear me. He said, I am restless in my complaint and moan noisily because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. They bring down trouble upon me. In wrath, he said, they hate me. Now note verse 4. David said, my heart is severely pained within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me. Horror has overwhelmed me. What a bleak picture painted by David. David is in a very dark place in his life. And so here's what David said, verse 6, and many of us can identify with what he's saying here. Oh, that I had wings like a dove. Then I would fly away and be at rest. Have you ever wanted to just escape? Remove yourself from the circumstances that you find yourself in? He said, indeed, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness. He said, I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. We can all identify with those words. Now look at verse 12, and here really, I think, is afforded us insight into the depth of hurt that David experienced. In verse 12, David said, it's not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who has magnified himself against me. Then he said, I could hide from him. But it was you, my equal, my companion, and my acquaintance. He said, we took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in the throng. Now, if this does go back to Absalom, imagine your own son literally trying to steal the kingdom out from under you. Or your own child trying to do harm to you as an individual. You know, sometimes we talk about how it feels to be rejected, despised, mistreated. There are a couple of thoughts that come to mind in light of what David is saying here. The first is to remember that Jesus knows something about rejection, doesn't he? You remember in Isaiah 53 what Isaiah said about Jesus? He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He said, we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Listen, Jesus knew something about how it felt to be rejected by his own people. And sometimes we face similar circumstances in life. There are times in life when we, like the psalmist of old, feel as if someone very close to us, someone who ought to love us, has stabbed us in the back. It hurts immensely. Now that being said, listen to what David said down in verse 20. He has put forth his hands against those who are at peace with him. He has broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. pretty graphic picture of the intent of the one who sought to hurt David. So in light of that, listen now to what David said, verse 22. David said, "Cast your burden on the Lord." And what will he do? David said, "He shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved or to be shaken." You think David could say that as the voice of experience? That David could say, look, when troubles and trials are mounting, when people that you love have hurt you deeply, cut you to the core, you take that burden and you lay it at the throne of God, and God will sustain you. He will get you through those times of difficulty. One of the songs that Jared led just a moment ago, talking about that anchor that we have, that anchor of the soul. You remember the Apostle Peter talked about those who were suffering. And he said to those in the first century that they were to commit their souls to God as to a faithful creator. We can always trust God. We might not necessarily be able to trust our fellow man, might not be able to trust our own brethren, sadly, at times, but we can trust the Lord. Paul knew something about that. You remember when Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, "At my first defense, no man stood with me, all men forsook me." There's the idea. But he went on to say, "But the Lord stood with me. The Lord strengthened me." The Lord will do the same for us. All right, we're going to shut it down. Might be that you're here this afternoon, and maybe your life is out of control right now. Maybe you're facing any number of problems and difficulties in life. To remember that the same God of Joseph, the God of David, the God of Peter and Paul and others, that same God is still on His throne. And that the God who gave us His inspired Word continues to counsel through His Word. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, I want to encourage you to come to Christ, to realize that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then based upon that conviction, to willingly walk away from the ways of this world through repentance, to confess the greatest name known to man, Jesus, and then to be immersed in water so that all your sins can be washed away, as Paul said in Acts 22, verse 16, and then be faithful. The promise is to those of us who go on and persevere through the trials of life, that promise spoken of by James is the crown of life, James 1, verse 12. If you're here this afternoon, maybe you're hurting, maybe you're troubled, maybe you've been hurt by someone, and you've had difficulty reconciling that in your mind. Maybe that's been a stumbling block in your life. I would encourage you to look to God. Let us pray with you and for you as we stand and sing.